the life lets me down, and the lies tell me I've been abandoned. When the darkness surrounds and it seems that there's no hope inside, I can call on your name and you release my pain. Lord, you hear me. I can lean into you, Lord, and know that you'll carry me. Because I need for you to carry me up on your shoulders. You're releasing your peace with every breath that I breathe. I can call on your name and your love covers pain. There's no place that I would rather be than right here with you. I'm safe in your arms, I'm washed in the blood. You see, fear is the enemy. Left to its lies, it'll break me. I won't be led to believe that all feelings I am should be trusted. I can let go of fear as you open my eyes to your hand on me. I can lean into you, Lord. Know that you'll fight for me. Lord, you fight. Oh, I need for you to carry me up on your shoulders. You're releasing your peace with every breath that I breathe. And I can call on your name and you covers pain. There's no place that I would rather be than right here with you. I'm safe in your arms, I'm washed in the blood. You see all of the lies that fill up my mind. They come straight from the voice of the enemy. I will give up this pride and run straight to the fight, cause I know you're living in me. Lord, I'll step across fear and surrender my life and become who you called me to be. Who you called me to be. I will trust you, Lord, because I need for you to carry me up on your shoulders. You're releasing your peace with every breath that I breathe. Lord, I call on your name and your love covers pain. There's no place that I'd rather be than right here with you. I'm safe in your arms, I'm washed in the blood. I'm washed in the blood. I'm washed in the blood. Lord, I'm washed in the blood.
Good afternoon, everybody. I hope you had an absolutely great Sunday so far. We are here for Kilted Christian, episode 341, Brothers in a Bible. Before I get into that, I just want to give everybody a huge thanks for all of the people that reached out to us after last night's show. not only with advice and prayers, just another example is how God works in our lives, and he works through us. And, you know, he sends messages to you, you pass those messages on, and it's exactly what we needed to hear. You know, this is what I talk about, unity and comfort, guys. We lift each other up on those weak times. And like I said, I just was beside myself, just with all the love that was reached out to us last night after that show. So God bless you all. I want to thank, you know, we had Nancy and Rod who reached out in prayer, just absolutely beautiful things that you sent. So thank you so much. We have a couple of prayer requests as well. So this one says, my hubby having cardiac surgery on Wednesday. Prayers up for Cheryl Lee as well. And I'm going to just read these first and I'll get into a quick little prayer. So Scott said a prayer in support of his friend Bob. The bleeding in his brain seems to have stopped or nearly so. The doctors are still grim, saying that he has brain damage. I believe in a miraculous healing of Jesus if Father wills it. My husband and I were told today that we could visit him. I would like to pray over him and speak scripture. I was wondering if you guys could have any recommended scripture. And once again, I want to thank Jeff too. Jeff always comes through with just the perfect scripture for the perfect situation. So thank you, Jeff. And then she sends her thanks as well. So real quick, guys, if you want to bow your heads, we'll just start off with a quick little prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask that you just answer all the prayers of what I just reached out for. You know, the surgery, cardiac surgery tomorrow or Wednesday, let that go through as well as it can, Heavenly Father. Be with not only the one in surgery, but we be with the family that is surrounding them and praying for them, and just give them strength, because their strength will be contagious to the person who is in need of the healing. And Heavenly Father, you have given us one ability to lift each other up and to give each other the strength, and that strength comes from you. So thank you, Father, for just the little gifts that we take for granted, such as that. I also ask, Heavenly Father, that you please bless Bob. You know, pull him through. Let his brain be okay if all possible. Dear Lord, we know that you have your will, and sometimes it's not our will or things that we want, but you know what needs to happen more than anybody else. So Heavenly Father, I just ask that you watch over all these people right now in need. Just be with them through their surgeries, be with them through their illnesses, and just pull any poison, cancers, or anything that they're going through just out of their body, dear Lord. We know that you have the ability to do it. You have the ability to heal anybody. So dear Lord, if you so will it, please do so. And once again, Heavenly Father, also the one thing that we often forget is not just the ones that are ill, but those that surround the ill, those that pray, those that worry. Heavenly Father, just get into their hearts, get into their souls, and fill them with love and truth, and let them strengthen themselves so they can help strengthen that other one. Heavenly Father, we love you with all of our hearts, and we are always so grateful that you listen to our prayers, much less answer them. In Jesus Christ's name and our Heavenly Father's name, I pray. Amen.
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 All right. So we'll go ahead and say hello to everybody tonight. And just to let you guys know real quick, we're going to be getting out of here about an hour and 15 minute show tonight because our brother Jeff has family in town, and we always say family is important. You seize that moment when you get the opportunities, because we say every night we were promised today. We don't know what tomorrow brings. So utilize every moment that you have. And like I said, family right now is so important, especially during these times. So, you know, family comes before anything else. So we're going to be a hour and 15 minute show tonight. So real quick, Livin, how are you doing, sweetheart?
I'm doing good. It's been a great day and getting ready to go back to work. Spring break is over.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Spring break is over.
It's always the worst, man. It's even worse than having to go back after a weekend is going back after a full week of spring break. Yeah.
Yeah. So back at it tomorrow morning. So I will miss Bended Knee, which, that's my favorite. I love that. Yeah. I love that show, but I'll try to just make everybody listen to it with me.
Yeah. Hey, see, that's the way to do it, man. Like I said, seize the moment. Our brother, Deuce Sprinklers, is playing music at an event. You know, he was kind of saying that a lot of them there were atheists. And I said, seize the moment. You've got the microphone, brother. You know,
right? Oh, that's awesome that he's doing that.
Yeah. I was like, he's like, hey, man, they know who I am. And I was like, then be who you are, brother. Yeah, I was like, you know, at this point, talk about the blood of Christ and the importance and how we don't have time and we don't know how much time we have left. So there's no better time to get a relationship with God right now. Boy, yeah. God set Dew on a mission. So God bless you.
Yeah. That's awesome. I'd love to hear that. Nice work, Dew. Show them.
And Conley, brother.
Hey, man.
You weren't here last night because you were at a huge concert. He wasn't playing. I'll just let you guys know that. He wasn't an opening act either.
No, it was not playing. Not playing. It was at Luke Combs last night at the AT&T in Arlington. And it was pretty fun. It was really cool. There were the opening sets were great. You know, I think Riley Green came on right before him, and then Laney, somebody or other, Harris, I think, right before Riley Green and some other dudes from Texas. It was a lot of fun. Had a blast.
Had a blast.
50,000 plus people.
Oh, that's fun.
40,000 of them girls yelling and screaming.
That's awesome.
Oh yeah.
You know, and everything begins with Luke. Speaking of Luke, Jeff.
And that, kids, is how you segue the show.
Wow, am I being renamed?
Well, no, I mean, we joke about everything starts with Luke, and apparently your scripture and show is going to begin in Luke tonight as well.
Okay,
so
I'm just going to change my avatar name from now on. It's going to be Luke.
Exactly. Luke.
Yes.
Like to Luke.
I'll take it. I like Luke.
Yeah, so do Love I. Luke. So do I.
I'm just curious, though, Conley, after it sounds like you had a great time, and I'm glad you did.
I did.
I know you needed a time out and clear, you know, a lot of things going on in life and things like that. But I have, you know, the question we were talking about pre-show. How's that body feeling today there?
It's very, very sore, dude. I mean, we took the elevator a couple times, but we did walk the ramp. And we were up like at section 440. So I had like a drink and some tissue up in my nose because it was bleeding. But you could still see, and they had the big screens up. But, you know, a lot of walking in cowboy boots, it's not easy to do walking on concrete. And this morning, my body was like, hey, buddy, it's me. I'm just here to say hello and to wake you up with a lot of pain.
And I know your feeling, because remember, I worked in arenas for like 15 years. And control, which is where we do the broadcasting, is on the top floor. As a video engineer, I would have to run down to fix anything that broke on the ice, LEDs. So there were some games that I was up and down the stairs probably 30 or 40 times a night. And I would go home, and then when I would want to cross a leg, I would have to literally use my hands to lift my leg up.
Well, the neat thing is that I did get a word from Jesus, and he said, hey, PT, since you're doing Biden math, PT is not a four-letter word. And so you're not cussing, so you do get to do PT from now on and exercise. So
perfect.
There's that. I don't have an excuse.
I would say I feel bad for you, but I've been running up and down steps for 20 years on my job, and it's took a toll from me. Now, I didn't do that in cowboy boots. Now, there is a huge difference. I used to wear cowboy boots when I was a younger man, and so I know exactly what you're talking about, but brother, I love you, but I just can't give you too much sympathy on that hurting body right now.
I wore my regular cowboy boots. I didn't wear like my ostrich leather-soled boots, which would have been worse. Yeah, the expensive ones, but they were worse than the leather sole. You know, there's nothing that these are good kind of cowboy ranch working boots. So I've got, you know, there's a cushion inside of them, but that my knees were like, you need better cushion.
I'll tell you the same thing that I told to Scott, because Scott got one of the viewers bought him a really nice cowboy hat. And I'll tell you the same thing that I said to him about the hat regarding the boots, is they look really silly with a kilt, so I probably will never wear either. Can you imagine cowboy hats and cowboy boots and a kilt?
Yes, I can. And I think it can be done. I know it can be done. Because it's Texas. It's Texas. Now, if you had like a tutu on,
all the cowboys are like, well, he's wearing a skirt, but he's wearing cowboy boots and a cowboy hat too.
And in my opinion, it's no different than wearing a University of Texas t-shirt and wearing a tutu and trying to wear cowboy boots. Those of us who went to A&M think you guys look the same.
Have you ever been to Austin?
However, those are trying.
Have you ever been to Austin? Yeah,
I have many times. And I cross myself and I play the Aggie War Hymn every time I enter the city limits.
Perfect. It's the little things.
It is. It really is. You're driving up and down 35 going to College Station. Just tune that place out. By the way, for those of you that don't know, they are the second university. They are not the University of Texas. A&M was the university before them.
Yeah.
We were commissioned as a university, I think it's 7 months before they were.
Yeah. So oxblood red instead of burnt orange, right?
Correct. Well, you know, maroon and white. And we also let them name their steer. because we branded 13 and O, and that's how it got its name, Bevo.
Hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then we got some Texas history for those of you here in Texas who did not know that.
Things yeah. you weren't ready for while you were preparing for the Book of Luke.
Exactly.
And how are you doing tonight, by the way, Mr. Mm-hmm. Pain James?
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing
friggin' Mr. Friggin'.
Yeah, I'm, how are you?
I'm
yeah, you always ask us how we're doing. How about you?
Sciatica. Not gonna complain about it though. And then I saw Dragon's Day last night, guys. Okay. I saw Dragon's Day. And so I'm gonna tell you right now, I think everyone here should watch that movie. And if you have any reservations as to, well, maybe I don't need water or food, I recommend watching Dragon's Day. That was a little too, I am still freaked out right now. And I saw that movie last night, after the show, still freaked out. It was too close to home. The plot line was too close to home. Everything about the movie was too close to home. I definitely recommend watching it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spoil it, boy. It's so hard not to spoil this one, but yeah, worth it.
No, it's a must watch. I watched it too. And it's just, oof. Oh
yeah. It's MAGA Q. It's called Dragon's Day. It's still for purchase. Like I think it was $3 to rent, on YouTube. Oh my goodness. It wasn't like the Christian Bale. The dragon in this particular context is, the red dragon, the one who just joined up with Russia. Horrifying scenario, but what we're watching in the world today, it is way too close to home. So get your water, get your food. Trust me. All right, Jeff, speaking of Luke.
Okay. All right. So I'm going by Luke now. So, all right. So what we're going to do tonight is I went through some things today, and sometimes we mention on here different rewards. And I've noticed in chat before, people want to know some things about the rewards. So I started looking into this, and before I even started this lesson out, the Lord sent me to Luke chapter 18, and it'll be verse 18 through 27. Is anyone here going to read that for me, or do I need to read that?
You can, unless Conley wants to.
Conley, you want to read?
I mean, I don't mind. I have it up.
All right, look at that. Okay,
so real briefly, you're going to get an ideal here of a person that would be similar to in our day of time if they want to know how to be saved. And the importance of this is going to be, we're going to be talking about rewards, but the rewards that we're going to be talking about, such as the crowns, are not going to be the importance. The reward is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you'll understand as we get closer to the end. So, Conley, my brother, if you want to read that, go right ahead and read on from verse 18 to 27, and we will go from there.
So a certain ruler asked him, and that's Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Here's the red letter stuff. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy, the ruler said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come, follow me. So when he heard this, he became very sad, because he was a man of great wealth. And Jesus looked at him and said, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard this asked, who then can be saved? And Jesus replied, what is impossible with men is possible with God. And that's Amen. 27.
Amen. Thank you, Conley.
You're welcome.
Very, very well done, man. You got the great voice for that.
Well, thank you.
So we get an ideal of here where this person of wealth came to Jesus, and he was inquiring, you know, if you go back and read the story, Jesus is talking amongst the crowds, and he's inquiring, what must I do to have this eternal life you're talking about? And Jesus has already read his heart and knows that the one treasure that he has is his money. And he tells him to take all of his money, get rid of it, give it to those that need it, etc. But as we see here, the, unfortunately, this rich young ruler turns around and he pretty much leaves. Now, we don't know, according to the story, that at some time he came back and he accepted salvation. We don't know that. But here's the point tonight. Your rewards. And they're not just materialistic things. We're going to be talking about them. Like I said, I've seen in chat about the crowns. We're going to talk about some of that. But I want you to understand before we begin this, how very important it is that sometimes we have to give up that thing that is most precious to us. But are we really giving it up? No, we're not. Because what we gain in return is far beyond what we can even comprehend. So let's begin this lesson. Most athletes train for a very long time to win prizes, to achieve rewards for their many years of training. They train to receive these rewards. They go through a lot of struggles and hardships, these medals, to get these medals and trophies and their expensive homes, etc. And one day these things will pass away. If these things will pass away one day, wouldn't it make more sense to place these achievements somewhere where one could keep them forever? Wouldn't you agree? And that's a question to everyone. Christians who are active in the spiritual race will also receive rewards for their training, their pain, their accomplishments, and etc. as well. The difference is a Christian's rewards will not perish. Hear what I tell you. And as we go through some of these, as I get on down into this lesson, you're gonna get a better understanding. The things that you do today, you're laying treasures in heaven. We were told to do that. And those are more precious than anything we have on this earth, because one day this earth will pass away. This earth will no longer exist. And everything that is here on this earth, whether it be gold, silver, homes, money, banks, does not matter. It's all gone. It's okay to train. It's okay to be an athlete. It's okay to have achievements and get a trophy or a gold medal. You know, your rewards. It's okay. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But what I am trying to get you to understand tonight is that we need to be laying our treasures in the kingdom of God before the kingdom of God is close at hand. Okay. So as we talked about there, the difference is the Christian rewards will not perish. Christians will receive rewards for their faithfulness at the judgment seat of Christ. And I know some probably don't know what that is, and maybe sometime I'll go into a deep study on that. But for tonight, we're just going to continue on. But you're going to receive rewards for your faithfulness at the judgment seat of Christ, rewards which one will surely give back or use in the glory of Christ Jesus for eternity. So I'm going to read you some scripture that goes along with this, and there's going to be times where I'm going to talk and I'm going to read scripture. So just try to follow along. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. Lay not up yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through to steal. But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor dust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that's very well said, because even if we think we have our treasures protected on earth, they're not protected. My grandfather used to tell me all the time, he said, Jeff, a lock is only good for one thing, and that's to keep an honest man out. And there's a lot of truth in that, as I've learned in my many years of living. And let's be honest, folks, we don't have a lot of honest people in the world anymore. I hate to say it, but it's true. But, you know, we pray for those people. So anyhow, is it verse 21? It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Very true. Whatever's in your heart is where you're going to be laying your treasures. In Luke chapter 12, verse 33 through 34, sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags for wax, not old, to treasure in heaven, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupt. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So Matthew and Luke both are talking in agreement on this thing about laying your treasures in heaven. The judgment seat of Christ is not a test or an exam to see whether or not we are good enough or suitable for heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. Understand what I'm telling you. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, your sins have been totally forgiven, past, present, and future. Doesn't mean that you don't have to ask for forgiveness sometimes because of the moment of what you're doing. But you've already, as far as that debt being paid, it's been paid with the blood of Christ by what Jesus did on Calvary's cross, which is exactly what I was just talking about. And that, notice, and that is what qualifies you or us to enter into God's holy presence in heaven. That's good news. I mean, that's right there with the gospel. That is great news because of what he did. We can, that's what qualifies us to get in, and not what we're doing down here to lay up treasures and our rewards and our crowns and things of that nature. No. It's all about that sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross and what he did for us. That's what makes the difference, that we can stand in God's presence, the Father's presence, in his mighty throne room. Okay. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life is Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, hath made us free from the law of sin and death. Let me read that verse again and listen closely. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. It's just more confirmation that his blood is what's made you totally free. When we stand before at the judgment seat of Christ, our faithfulness to him will be evaluated and rewarded. Now, understand, this is where we're going to start getting into the rewards, okay, the crowns. So when we stand before at the judgment seat of Christ, our faithfulness to him will be evaluated and rewarded. And these will be his way of, you've already made it to heaven because of the blood. You've accepted Jesus into your heart as Lord and Savior. And now you've done things on the earth, and he's even going one step further, not just saving you from these things, but he's saying, hey, the things that you've done down there for me, hey, I'm going to give you a reward. I think that's pretty awesome, because technically he doesn't have to do anything. Technically, God in heaven doesn't even really need us, to be quite honest. He loves us and he wants us. That's the difference. Okay. So again, it's our faithfulness to him that will be evaluated and rewarded. He will look at our every thought, motive, and action in perfect knowledge. The very thought of this should motivate us every day to be more like him and to continue in the sound doctrine, laying our treasures in heaven.
So let me ask you real quick.
Go right ahead.
Do you care about those rewards? See, this is, you know, like myself, the reward is getting into heaven and being able to like sit by Christ and God. You know what I'm saying? Like that is the reward. And my mind doesn't even wrap around anything else, because I'm like, how can the reward get greater than that?
I agree. And I think that's a lot of what, you know, was laid on my heart today is, you know, as we looked at the rich young ruler, obviously he was a little more concerned with his money down here than he even was with salvation. So yeah. Just go ahead and forget about the rewards. But to me, and I've always looked at it this way, I don't care if I'm nothing but a grain of sand in the kingdom of heaven, as long as I'm there.
That's exactly how I feel. I mean, it's like, that is like the reward of rewards. You know, it'd be like someone like on earth, you know, giving you like the greatest, best Mercedes ever. And they're like, oh, there's a better reward coming. And it's like, it's better than this. It doesn't get better than salvation. It doesn't get better than knowing that you're in heaven with the Lord Almighty. So like I said, my brain never even fathoms more rewards, you know, and I think that's one thing, is that I'd imagine that most Christians are probably like that, the same way. you know, which is why we deserve the rewards ultimately, is because we're not doing it for payment. We're doing it out of good hearts, righteousness, and wanting to make Papa happy.
Right. And I totally agree with 100% of what you're saying, you know, and like I said, the only reason so I began to look at this story about that. And then the thing came back as if I could see the chat where a couple of times people have asked about what are these crowns you're talking about? And that's not what they said, but it was something similar to that. And I thought, okay, well, how does this tie into this, Lord? And thus comes this lesson. Okay. But yeah, I'm not one of those. To me, I sort of look at it, for lack of better words, as fringe benefit. You know, it's like a bonus.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, hey man, because I went out here and I witnessed to this person over here about Jesus. Now he's given me a crown. You know, and like I say, God, you got to understand something, folks. And I'm just going to be quite honest with you here tonight. And I'm not trying to hurt nobody's feelings. God doesn't need you. Understand what I'm telling you. You can go through the scripture and look, God does not need you. No,
but right? I like that. I like that even more, because he doesn't need us, but he loves us.
Exactly.
He doesn't need us. He wants us.
Yeah. A lot of people are like, what are you talking about? He don't need us, man. I mean, what? And they get all, you know, tore out of frame. No, understand what me and Duncan are saying here. He doesn't need me, but he loves me enough that he wants me.
Exactly. You know, Rod Cook says, I'm happy just being a street sweeper in heaven. Look, if God designated me toilet cleaner, I'd be like, yeah, but I'm a toilet cleaner in heaven.
Good old Rod. I'm glad you made it tonight, brother. It's good to see you in chat.
Yeah, it's great to see him.
Yeah, it's and I agree with that. And again, you know, this whole story, this whole lesson was about talking a little bit about these crowns, and God has given me the insight to bring this into another topic. So I'm not taking away of anything. And I agree with everything. It's just amazing to me. Even when I get down and out, sometimes there's been times in my life where I felt like the Lord was nowhere near me. There's been times where Satan has come to me and made me doubt my salvation. And anyone who's honest will probably say exactly what I'm saying now, because I don't care who you are. You got to remember this, that Peter was a disciple that Jesus handpicked to build his church, the foundation, denied Jesus 3 times. So don't ever let anyone come to my face and tell me, well, praise God, I ain't never doubted my salvation. I tell you right now, come on now.
Yeah.
Works overtime.
He does. And some of the great stories that you hear are very inspirational. I'm talking like preachers that have that lapse in faith, but ultimately their faith is strengthened once they get through it. And
that's, go ahead.
No, and to me, that's the test of faith. Cause once again, God asks us to have faith. If
and
God,
that's what, yeah. I was, that's what I was going to go with next is, you know, sometimes when we get under attack of our salvation, that's not really us thinking that. That is Lucifer trying to attack you.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, what does God's word say? That if you confess him, okay, and if you believe in your heart, if you call upon him, all these different things, that you'll be saved. God is not a liar. So if you've done those things in a heartfelt manner, under conviction, doesn't matter what he tells you, you're a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Christ Jesus. Never forget that, okay? But there's going to be moments in life to where you're probably going to doubt, because that's what Lucifer does. That's his job. Understand that. But that's when you run. That's when you run. Okay. You don't have to stand there and try to be Billy Bad, but that's when you run and you get around the feet of your Father in heaven and you call on the name of Christ Jesus and you use the blood of Jesus to chastise him with scripture. And he'll run like a coward. Trust me. He has no choice because he's already been defeated. And there's power in that. And I praise God for that. Can I get an amen? Somebody in chat somewhere, give me an amen.
I'll give you an amen verbally on the microphone.
Amen.
I mean, that's the power of Jesus's blood is beyond anything we can even comprehend, even though we do comprehend it by the Spirit somewhat. We ain't even scratched the surface on who he really was, to be quite honest, in our day and time. Now, maybe when the disciples walked with him or the apostle Paul met him on the road, maybe they did. But in our society today, unless he just stands blatantly right in front of us, like he did Paul or Peter. And all we can do is through our spirit feel these things, mm-hmm. you know, and it's powerful to me when I look at his, and that's one reason I stopped looking at a lot of the stuff I used to look at in the Old Testament. And it's like the Lord drew me over to the New Testament is because I found so much comfort and rejoicing and learning just how much he loved people. He loved me, not just people, but me. I hadn't even been born yet, not even thought about yet, but he saw me and he died for me. If you're out there tonight and you're hearing me, understand it didn't do it just for me, Duncan, Livin, Conley, Insidious, mm-hmm. Rod, he did it for you. If you're hearing my voice, he did that for you.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, that's powerful.
Even Pelosi and Schiff and Schumer,
yes.
and Hitler.
Yeah. Yes. Now, and yeah. don't get me wrong, father is called a father for a reason.
Oh, yeah.
Because when children misbehave, you're going to get a little chastising, you know? And I've always looked at him that way above that, of course, but that's one way I've visualized him in my life is being my big father.
Well, okay? I read a tweet today that, you know, speaking of chastising and he, you know, this guy's a very, very devoted Christian. And he was like, I got caught up in gossip at work the other day and I know I shouldn't have. And he goes, and Father chastised me for it. He's like, but thank you, Father, for chastising for me. I love yes. you. Yeah. You know, he showed appreciation for the chastising and, yes. and that's great too, is that our Father does, he doesn't beat us. You know, right. he scolds us, he reminds us. And that what we said before is that's one brilliant thing about once you have that connection with God is you may not have realized your mistakes before, which is why you kept repeating yeah. them. But once you know the Father, you're like, oh, you immediately yeah. realize that you just made a mistake.
Yes, yeah. exactly. It's sort of like, you know, I always like the analogy, you know, the kid that goes in a candy store, first time you steal a piece of candy, it's like, as soon as you reach for it and you have that intent in your heart to steal it, it's like you feel like 100 eyes on you and you turn around, there's no one there.
Yes.
That's mm-hmm. because God's looking down going, no, don't do that. Put it back. You know, you shouldn't be doing that.
Yep.
You know, I love chastisement. That is, I'll be honest with you. I'm hard headed. God knows I'm hard headed. And a lot of my life has been getting where I am now through a lot of chastising. And I'm not ashamed to admit that because that is what has made me who I am today. Making mistakes, not listening when I should have listened. Sometimes I didn't know, you know, but by making those and him spanking my bottom mm-hmm. a little bit, put me where I'm at now. And I'll be honest with you, I want to be even closer later than I am now.
Oh,
go ahead.
And I like being called out by God for one of the main reasons is because as long as it's like my father. Okay. When my dad wasn't picking on me, I knew I was in trouble. So it's like the moment God starts calling me out is the moment that he's pulled his hand away from me, you know? And that's where I'm just like, just keep calling me out. I'm a grown up now. I understand the importance of discipline and I will listen and learn.
Yes. And that's very important as you grow in your walk with the Lord is to understand he's not some big gigantic being up in heaven with a lightning bolt ready to zap you every time you make a mistake. Telling you, he's just not. If he was, you wouldn't be alive. Okay. And there's time where people feel like, well, God don't love me or God's cursed me or God's let me. Nope. I'm gonna tell you, I've been there. And I'm telling you right now, God is not the issue. You are.
Yeah.
Let me say that again. God is not the issue. You are.
Just exactly. Like Rod said to me earlier, you know, basically it's getting back to the word. You know what I'm saying? Like when you make mistakes, it's getting back to the word. When someone or something is trying to sow doubt, get back into the word. He used Peter as an example, standing right next to Jesus in the water. You know, Jesus himself was tempted, worn and torn, went to the word, no problems. And that's, you know, where it is with us is it's recognizing it and then walking back to the word because of the strength that comes with that.
Yes. And if you even think about it, when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, when Satan was using scripture against him, Jesus came right back at him with scripture.
Yes, exactly.
There's a lot of power in scripture. And, you know, unfortunately, I don't remember it as good as I used to. I have to go back and look things up. But the bottom line is this, is I know enough in my spiritual walk with the Lord to, at minimum, call on the name of Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's very important that we all remember that. And I'm going to be honest with you, especially in today's time, because it's getting rough. It really is. And, a lot of things going on.
And, you know, and even as, you know, because many of us can't remember, like myself, I can't remember scripture word for word for word, like some people can, but I remember the stories and I could tell the story in different words. And the thing is, you know, the Bible's not an incantation. You know what I'm saying? That has to be all precise and everything. It's the story. That's why, you know, Jesus told the parables. Stories are easier to remember, you know, in the long run. So that's one of those, you know, it's kind of moving forward and understanding what the scripture means. And it doesn't have to be word for word, although I would love to be able to remember scripture like some people can.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I was younger, I could, because I made it a point to learn them every day. I would write them down and put them on the dash of my work vehicle or whatever. But, you know, many years ago, 15, 18 years ago, whatever happened to me, it's just like my memory has declined since then. Walking medical mystery, but that's okay.
Medical mystery. I call it chemtrails and fluoride in the water and glucose in your Pop-Tarts. And
God's word says, take no thought for what you'll say. When the time comes, the Holy Spirit will give you what you need to say.
Exactly.
And that's where I've always laid my assurance is if that day ever comes where I'm thrown in prison, if that day ever comes where I need to use a piece of scripture, it's not going to matter. I'm saying it anyhow, because it's going to be the power of the Holy Spirit laying conviction on that person. That's what's going to work. Mm-hmm. Nothing that I say is going to work.
Nope.
You know, so I don't worry too much about it anymore. I get down on myself about it sometimes, but that's okay. You know, we're all getting a little older.
I think we get down on ourselves because we want to be better. And that's what you do. That's otherwise we would be complacent and just happy. It's like the people that use the word master. You know, they think that they've perfected it. They understand everything about it. Therefore, you've limited your growth of any potential learning here in the future.
That's very true. It's very true. Yeah. So what are these five crowns? Let's talk a little bit about them. And again, at any time, you know, jump in, whatever. So the five crown rewards in heaven. Well, we have the crown of glory. Let's look at that. That's going to be in 1 Peter. Chapter 5 and verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. This crown is given to the faithful. If you go back and you read 1 Peter chapter 5, you'll get a better understanding. So the crown of glory is a crown that is given to the faithful. Then, and again, there's 5-0. And then there is the victor's crown. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25 through 27, starting in 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I. So he's saying he's fighting. He's not running away. I'm fighting. Not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. So he's making himself subjected to this, the not a corruptible crown, but an incorruptible. Okay. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. See, he's not even holding himself as above as other people. Self-discipline requires being able to say no. Serving God requires focus to the things he wants at the highest value. Thus, those who do this will receive this crown, the victor's crown. It's when you walk away more or less from the things of the world, Okay. You keep your body, your everything that you are in, into the subjection of faith, where you're not sowing incorruptible, but you're keeping your course on a straight path. You're staying in that subjection of God and what he wants done. Okay. So that was the second one, the victor's crown. The third one will be the crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? This crown is given to those who will bring others to Christ, often referred to as the soul winner's crown. And I first learned about that as, oh my gosh, that was probably 20 plus years ago, the first time I'd ever heard that, the soul winner's crown. I thought, what are you talking about? And then the pastor sort of started talking about, that's where I actually began to learn that there were different rewards in heavens and in the heaven that we would receive. So that is the crown of rejoicing. And again, that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. And again, guys, as I'm reading this, understand something. I'm just picking out the verse to talk about the actual crown. You need to go back into these chapters. And as always, like I say, read everything in context, okay? Always do that. Even if you're wherever you go to church at or who you're listening to or whatever, don't just take the one verse. You need to go back, do yourself the due diligence and go back and read this whole chapter, okay? Or chapters. And sometimes you end up in different books of the Bible.
Yep.
So let's go to number four here. The crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown. Let's just start that over again and hear that. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So understand, he's telling you that the Lord is going to give you this crown himself. Okay. Again, go back and read it. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. This crown is specifically for those who haven't got caught up in this earthly daily life, but long for heaven and seeing the face of their Savior.
Ooh, amen.
That's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
That's powerful. That one right there. Yes. Very much so.
But understand again, it says he's laid up the crown, you know, righteousness and the righteous judge and shall give me. So that means he's given it to them at that day when he comes at his appearing.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty powerful stuff right there.
Yes.
Very much so.
Number five, the last of the crowns. And I think this one's probably my favorite, but yeah, the last one was pretty good too.
But that last one's hard to achieve.
well, it is, but it's not, because it's not necessarily being found perfect per se.
Keeping your focus in the right place.
But it's being found righteous. And how are we found righteous? By the blood of Christ.
Yeah. You know. I go back to real quick to what Rod had said earlier, you know, about I'd be happy to be a street cleaner in heaven. I said, I'd be glad to be a custodian cleaning toilets in heaven. You know, think about this. Well, think about this for a second. Here on earth, if you had gone to school, gotten a degree or been doing something for 20 years and you went to a place to go find a job and he said, well, I'm not going to give you this one, but I'll let you be a custodian. We would turn our nose up at that. We would be like, I absolutely refuse. And I do not want to do that. But You look at a place like heaven, and I don't think there's a one of us that would be like, oh man, that's awesome. Thank you. Only because of the place. Then it just shows you the power of the focus and wanting to be in that place to where, you know, we would happily take a job that we would literally turn our noses down here.
Yeah. And like, you know, what you got living?
Like washing feet.
Yeah, exactly. That's sort of where I was going to go with, you know, even though we put statutes of limitations on things and we look at, well, this job's better than that job, since we're talking about jobs, our Father in heaven, as long as you're being obedient, doing what he's looking at you with the same favor as he's doing the next person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we don't carry indignance with us to heaven.
No.
No. Well, you know, that's the people down here, like I said, so if in life we had two people standing side by side, let's say Duncan's over here in the hog lot and he's slopping the hogs, and Conley, he's over here and he's writing out checks for the workers and he's all nice and clean, they would be like, well, I want Conley's job. But the fact of the matter is in God's world, in his kingdom, every job is just as important as the other in his eyes, as long as we're being obedient or doing what he's asking, you know, the role.
Yes.
And that's, to me, that's powerful too.
Well, no, yeah, it is.
I have a judgmental God on the aspects of I'm less than.
But, you know, and the funny thing too is, you know, like we do have an indignance, a way of just looking at certain things, you know, like as being more important or less important. But here's the thing. When God looks down and he sees you, the wealthy man who works in the stock market, and he looks down at the pig slopper, God's going to more than likely favor the pig slopper because he took that dirty job in order to take care of his family, which shows a little bit more intent and love for what he, you know what I'm saying? Yeah,
exactly.
You will find through scripture, especially in the New Testament, that the people who were humble, who were in the eyes of society, were nothing. They didn't even care if they were alive or dead. Those were the people that God favored the most.
Yeah.
Because they had a pure heart. What you see is what you got.
Yeah, the fringe.
You go back and again in the book of Luke, and you read the story of Lazarus and the rich man. It is the only story in what people call parables. Okay, out of all the parables Jesus talked about, it is the only one where Jesus called a person by name, Lazarus. Okay, it's not a figurative. It's not a story. It's not a made up just to get your attention. This, in my opinion, this was a literal story that happened where you had this beggar who had sores on his body and he was laying under the table and the dogs were licking his sores. If you've never had that to happen to you, it's pretty daggum painful. I'm sure these guys in front of me know exactly what I'm talking about as country boys. Okay. It's pretty painful, but he was under the table just asking for the crumbs. And they wouldn't give it to him. So when Lazarus died, Lazarus went on to be in heaven. He was found in Abraham's bosom. But where was the rich man who had everything? Well, he was looking, as God's word says, he was looking up out of hell in torment.
Yep.
Okay. So I'd rather be that nobody in society. I'll just put it that way.
See, exactly. And that's the thing is literally humbling ourselves to that. Never looking, like I said, you know, and I would say none of us, majority of us here don't look down on anybody. Matter of fact, I respect someone more for taking a job that I wouldn't take. And then as I grow older and grow a stronger connection with God, I will take those jobs that I used to not want to take.
Yeah.
You know, if it means taking care of my family, like, look, and I'm going to call you out in a sweet way. Jeff works a job right now that treats him like Satan would treat an employee, but he has a family. He has a wife that he loves and he has a responsibility. So instead of walking away, he's been hanging out in this place the whole time out of responsibility. And, you know, and to me, that's great humility, is being able to take the jabs and the punches every day you go to work so that you are taking care of your lady and your children. And I respect you more than I will ever be able to say for that, man.
It's been a battle. It has, but I think, I'll be quite honest with you, I think God has said, you've endured enough. It's time.
Yes.
And I'm going to take care of you. It doesn't matter. I've got you. Okay. And I take great comfort. I've got tears in my eyes. I take great comfort in that, guys. Listen to me out there tonight. I don't know what you're going through in life. I don't. But let me tell you what I do know. I know God loves you. I know Jesus loved you enough to die a horrible death for you. And if he's willing to do that, if you'll follow him, if you'll be obedient to him, you've got nothing to worry about. You may never have a mansion here, but I got news for you. I got glory news for you tonight. You've got a mansion in God's kingdom. If you're his child tonight, understand what I'm telling you. Streets paved with gold, crystal seas. Can you imagine that? That's your home. If you're a child, that's your home. You don't need nothing here. I ain't worried about it no more. Praise God.
Nope. And we will all be praying for you. I pray for you nightly. I pray for you more than nightly. But we're going to keep on praying, brother, man, because, you know, God needs you doing his work right now. He doesn't need
April, April 14th. I've already turned my notice in. April 14th will be my last day if I don't quit before.
Yeah. Wow. Right on,
Well, we
was waiting for the right time to tell you guys. And
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to force that out. I just really
on my heart.
Okay. I just really respect you. Give me a thousand times to tell 1,000 reasons why I respect Jeff, and I will be able to fill that up with ease and need another 2,000. It just, like I said, your love for family, your devotion, legit Christian. And I see great examples of good, legit Christians every day now. Every day I come into this show, I have a lot of respect for a lot of people that are going through some hard times, that are sucking it up, you know, dealing with this earthly mess, but making the best of it. And man, we have you in our prayers. We will keep praying until the moment God says, Jeff, this is what I need you to do. Dude, I found a church in North Carolina when I was looking for houses. And I was like, ooh, $149,000 for a church? I wonder if I could get Jeff over here.
Right?
I was like, we will.
That's true, teacher Jeff.
And for you, and for y'all that don't know, yeah, that does happen here in North Carolina. Sometimes they will sell a church. I'm not sure how they do that. But yeah, it has happened. But hey, I'm down with that. We get
how do you do the comps on that?
It wasn't a big church, but I'm like, hey, this is a great intimate church, and it's got a couple of bedrooms, a kitchen. Like, my mom was like, well, what would you do with the church? And I said, I would open it to become a church.
7 days a week.
Totally.
Yep.
I mean, you could do a lot with that. You could have a food, you know, a food pantry thing where you help the homeless. You take abused women or men in, you know, homeless children. I mean, you just never know what God is going to do. And the doors he's going to open, and it's hard. It was hard for me to, I'm not going real quick and we'll go on with the lesson because our time's run out, but it was hard for me to walk away from a job of 20 years. Why I spent hours and hours with people that became like brothers. Some of them, most of those people are gone too. They've already left, but, it was very hard for me. And not to mention the finances. Cause I do have a lot of finances. I had there's a lot of things. I'm not even gonna get into that, but do have a lot of finances, but you just don't every day walk away from a $20+ an hour job. Okay. With 401k health insurance, 4 weeks of paid vacation. You don't do that, but it was time.
Yeah.
God said no more. And I just got fed up with it to the point I just give it to him. And I'm not, am I a little concerned? Yeah, I'd be a liar if I wasn't, you know, because I'm human. I do have emotions, but I tell you what I am going to do. I'm going to do what I always do in a bind. I'm going to trust in him.
Amen.
And I'm going to lean on him.
Yep.
And he's going to take care of me and my family. Now, we may not have what we have now, but I can tell you one thing. We're going to be in his hands, and that's all that matters.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And you got a family that believes that too. I mean,
great family.
Insidious is... Yep. Badass support right now, man. She's the one person that I would definitely am thankful that she's by your side.
Mm-hmm. You guys are a great team. Yeah. You guys will be fine. God's got a path for you, Jeff, and Insidious, and he's got you.
I appreciate that. I'm not concerned. If he could keep my wife from dying like he did and my son from dying like he did, he's got it. Who knows? Y'all may be visiting me at a church as a pastor someday.
And that would be awesome.
That's what I was thinking.
See, I trust Insidious. She said that if I didn't move to North Carolina, she was going to unadopt me. So I stopped looking anywhere else.
Well, let's move on real quick. We're running out of time, and I still got just a little bit to try to get in here for these people. So we left off on the crown of life. Crown of life. That's where we were. My apologies, guys. I got sidetracked. Too many squirrels.
That was my bad. And I promised you before the show, I wouldn't do it.
I loved it because the Spirit of God fell upon me. And I love that. I take that any day of the week. So in James chapter 1, verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to him that to them that love him. And also in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Listen to that. God's speaking to me right now. For none of these things which you shall suffer is basically what he's saying. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, and ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Believers who keep their love of Jesus while enduring persecution, temptation, and even being a martyr. Any believer who has kept the faith when it has been costly, and I think all those we mentioned are pretty costly, to do so will receive this crown, the crown of life. As long as we endure, he's guaranteed us that he's going to give it to us, the Lord himself. That's powerful.
Yep.
Oh, amen.
So in closing, okay, and we're getting ready to wrap this up. Each born-again believer, child of God, should want to pursue these rewards. I know I do, and I know there's many others here tonight that do. But let me also say this. No crown. Glory. No crown could ever compare to the glory of seeing our Lord and Savior face to face.
Amen to that.
Amen.
Oh, Duncan, give me a minute to talk.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, this is the thing, is that, you know, we have so many trials and we have so many tribulations that are down here on this earth. But what do? You walk away from it. You walk in the scripture. You recognize what we have been given by our Lord Almighty. And it does. It pulls so deep emotion out of you. Like you guys heard me just a couple weeks ago, lost my composure 2 times during that week. Because when the Lord hits you, he hits you. And there's nothing more beautiful than this subject, in my opinion. You know, what we do on this earth, all the great things that we do are because of God. And like I said, the reward we seek is entering heaven. It's not those rewards in heaven. And I'd imagine I'll probably be the same way when I get to heaven as I am on earth. When somebody tries to give me some amazing reward or something, I'm like, oh, no, you don't have to do that. Please don't. You know what I'm saying? Like, but that's the thing, is that with being Christian comes humility. Letting go of that ego. Yep. And I'm seeing that happen more and more, but I'm also seeing a lot of ego still in the way that some people preach. And it's like, you know, it just goes to show you that even those that have the most knowledge in remembering scripture, they still have something to work through. I saw a meme earlier where, you know, the guy was like, you know, I'm disciplined enough, no sin can touch me. And he was wearing a full-on knight armor. But then it had an arrow that went right through the one little slot where his eyes are. And the arrow said pride. You know, and that's the thing, is literally understanding the importance of humility, understanding the importance of faith, understanding the importance of doing things for purposes that are greater than yourself. And once you get to that point, life almost becomes a little bit easier because you stress less about what's in your life. You start appreciating those little things that you have in your life. You know,
yeah, you start appreciating those God moments like I just had where I had to ask you to talk.
Oh, no, man. And you know me, I'm here for you. And I'm going to pray.
I love it.
I'm going to pray us out tonight. Whenever.
Oh, I'm not done yet.
Oh, I know you're not done.
All right, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, over. No. Please go, man. I was just covering for you. Okay.
In the spirit, man. I want to start shouting. I'm sitting here now. It's like I can't be still kind of thing.
Hey,
it's
do what I do. I turn my microphone down and start screaming.
It's good stuff. I'm going to read that again. Each born again believer, child of God, should want to pursue their rewards, but understand what I'm telling you. No crown could ever compare to the glory of seeing our Lord and Savior face to face. Until we do, we have a responsibility to run the spiritual race with more dedication than any athlete in earthly history. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, in other words, leaving them behind, and reaching forth unto these things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In 2 Timothy, and this was a long one, and we're almost done here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 8. Fight the good fight. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Notice that word, doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. And he's talking about the people in the world. And they shall turn away their ears from truth, and they shall be turned unto fables or stories. Okay. Verse 5. But watch thou in all things. He's talking to the born again. He's talking to the Christians, the children of God. But watch thou in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, at the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up. Notice this. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not me only. There's some good news, folks. Paul's saying, and not me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Talking about the Lord. So tonight, we've talked about a lot of rewards, and we've talked about a lot of things, and I'm just going to tell you right now, God is here. Yes, he's here. I can feel him.
Oh, yes.
It's, glory.
I know. It's more and more apparent every day.
I just want to say tonight, as we're wrapping this up, these rewards that I've talked about are nothing. I mean, I'm not taking away from them. Obviously, God has put them in his word for a reason for all of us, and it's great to know these things. But I don't care as long as I get to see the one who died for me. And I want you to be able to see him as well, in a good way. Not standing at that great white throne judgment and him saying, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You don't want to be that person.
Mm-mm.
You don't want to hear those words tonight or ever, whenever your time comes. So tonight we're going to end up with salvation before Duncan closes us out in prayer. And I've got a couple questions for you. If you're hearing me tonight, or somewhere down the road, are you a sinner? Do you want forgiveness for your sin? And these are all legit questions you need to ask yourself. Okay. Do you believe Jesus was the Son of God and died on the cross for you and rose again? Are you ready to accept his gift and invite him into your heart and life? Romans 3, verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6, 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And one of all of our favorites, Romans 10, 9 through 11, that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shall believe in thine heart, that's talking about your heart, that God raised him, Jesus, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart of man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So if you're here tonight and you can answer any of those, that yeah, I'm a sinner, and you're saying to yourself right now, you know, Lord, I've never felt this before, and I realize tonight that I'm a sinner, and I don't want to die and be cast away from your presence, much less go into a place of eternal damnation with hellfire, tormenting, then I invite you tonight to read these scriptures we just talked about and pray. And it's a simple prayer. You can say it any way you want to. If you're under conviction, that's going to come straight from your heart anyway. But I ask you to invite Christ Jesus into your life tonight, into your heart, to be your Lord and Savior. And all you have to say is a simple prayer like this: Heavenly Father, I have sinned against you. I want forgiveness of all my sins, and I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me, and you raised him from the dead. Father, I give you my life to do with it as you wish. I want Jesus Christ to come into my life and into my heart as Lord and Savior of it all. And simply, in Christ Jesus' name, you ask him, amen.
Amen.
That's all it takes. And if you're out there and you've done this, let me just go ahead and say, welcome to the family, because God is not a liar. And he said, if you would confess him before men, he would confess you also before his Father. And that if you did these things, that you would be saved. He's not a liar. So if you've truly done this and repented and asked him into your heart, welcome, child of God, because now your eternity home is in heaven. That's all I have.
Amen.
How do I follow that?
Amen.
Amen.
There you go. Don't forget to watch this tomorrow night.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that was just on point.
I know, man. Wow.
That was on point.
Yeah.
Right on, brother. Right on, right on, right on.
Phenomenal. I'm going to pray out, man. I feel like I need to offer it to you first, though.
Go ahead, brother.
All right.
Go ahead.
Everyone, please bow your heads. Heavenly Father, first I ask again that you answer those prayers that I prayed for earlier, dear Lord, of Bob and Cheryl Lee's husband, who will be going into surgery, and the many other people that are reaching out right now for healing. Dear Lord, I got another prayer during the show, and I asked, dear Lord, that you heal Pastor Jim Ballman. And dear Lord, if I mispronounce that, you know better than I do who I'm talking about. He's been dealing with an infection for a few months now. We've tried many alternative treatments and no change. He actually missed giving his sermon today. Heavenly Father, please heal him, get him back on his feet, and get him back preaching to the choir, preaching to his congregation, dear Lord, spreading that gospel as far as he possibly can. Dear Lord, I ask that you also be with those people right now that are overseas. Be with all of our brothers and sisters in Israel right now as they gather in the streets and protest, and let them be doing the right thing. And I'm not sure anymore, dear Lord, what's good and what's bad, dear Lord, but you do. So I ask that you just be with those people and protect them and let them be fighting for a righteous cause, or let your righteous cause end up coming through and winning, dear Lord. I ask that you be with those people in France right now that are doing the same thing, that are trying to stand up for their rights. Heavenly Father, there's many countries that are doing the same. So I ask that you just protect them. You keep those people safe from the tyranny and the governments that are destroying this world. And dear Lord, let their courage be an inspiration to us and the rest of these countries that are going through similar things. We sit back, dear Lord, and we watch this tyranny. And you don't want us sitting on our hands. No, you don't. Idle hands are the devil's tools, dear Lord. You want us to be fighting like your great warriors that you have blessed us to be right here during this time. You wouldn't have chosen us to be here today, dear Lord, if it wasn't for a reason. So I ask, dear Lord, that you let our missions, our individual missions, be absolutely clear, that we understand what that mission is, and that we have courage and we have the discernment that we need to complete this mission. Dear Lord, we know that when you set us off on a mission, you're there with us when you send us off. You are sitting in the co-pilot seat as we are taking that mission. You are right there with us to give us a hug when we complete that mission. So dear Lord, let us always have faith. Let us walk in that faith that you ask of us, dear Lord. And on those days we're weak, dear Lord, let us find someone in our lives, send someone, one of us, into one of our lives to lift each other up during that time, just like many of these beautiful, beautiful people did for me last night. Heavenly Father, even the strongest people in this world have times of weakness, and we learn from that. Sometimes they're lessons, but sometimes they're lessons to others to give them the opportunity to show their strength and their faith in you to go and complete the mission of lifting that person up. So, dear Lord, let us recognize that. Let us not just be thankful of the prayers that you've answered, but also let us thank you for the prayers that you never answered, because you knew what we needed in our life and what we didn't. Dear Lord, let us be your humble servants right here on this earth, and let us fight for you until the day that you bring us home. But Heavenly Father, don't let us do it because we're seeking one of the many rewards that you offer. Let us do it because there's a reward in loving you. There's a reward in wanting to make you happy. There's a reward in doing the right thing on this earth and raising people up and making their lives better. Dear Lord, we have gotten caught into this illusion of earth. And it's hard sometimes to separate ourselves from the flesh and in that kingdom. So I ask, Heavenly Father, that you always keep our eyes on the kingdom. Keep one foot in the kingdom, even as we're doing work down here, dear Lord. Make sure that everything begins with prayer, ends with prayer. Make sure that every day, everything that we do, our days begin with you and our days end with you. Dear Lord, there's so many things that we can do in your name down here. And many of us have insecurities because we don't want to do the wrong thing. So I ask, Heavenly Father, that when we step out to do the work for you, that you assure us that we are speaking your will and not ours. Dear Lord, we don't want to confuse anyone. We don't want to accidentally lead someone down the right path. So let us be responsible with the gifts that you have given us. Let us be cautious to use these things properly for the benefit of others, not ourselves, dear Lord. Always bless us. Always guide us. Always keep us on that heavenly track, dear Lord. But keep us on that track, dear Lord, so that we can help others find that narrow path. They can find the relationship through the fruits that we bear, through our actions, so they can see the love and the joy that having you in our lives brings, so that they search for that themselves. Heavenly Father, we don't have the ability to give eternal life, but we know the one who can, and that is you. So let us do everything that we can every day to do your work, to spread that gospel, to repent for our sins, to keep our armor nice and shiny and nice and strong, as we're going to need it more and more as we walk into this chaotic times. But Heavenly Father, we don't see chaos. We see the light at the end of this tunnel. We see that eternal life that you have promised us by doing the right thing and having you in our lives, dear Lord. So let us never fear. Let us never stress over the chaos in this world. Let us utilize that chaos to endure, to make us stronger, to become stronger Christians, to become stronger in you, Heavenly Father, and help others become stronger in you as well. In Jesus Christ's name and our Heavenly Father's name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Beautiful.
Amen. Wow. All good stuff, boys. All good stuff. All good stuff tonight from you two.
Awesome. Hey, you too, man. You did a great job on reading that, opening it all up, getting it all rolling, getting it all going.
Well, man, the words were in front of me, and all I had to do was just pronounce them right. You guys just
went, hey, in all fairness, the words are right in front of me too.
Whatever.
Well, God put up the, you know, the little cue thing that producers have so that you can read. Or, you know, well, the same thing that Biden uses, but mine's better because it comes from God. It just appears in the middle of the air.
That's awesome.
The God prompter. That's what it is.
God prompter.
The heavenly prompter.
The heavenly prompter. Don't say it that way. It's got to be the God prompter.
The God prompter. The
heavenly prompter. You're going to throw that into a prayer somehow.
Exactly. The God prompter. Well, Jeff, brother, absolutely beautiful, beautiful topic tonight. Like I said, is Jeff and I will both come up with our topics that we do our research on. And then, you know, whoever's leading the show, the other will ask the questions. But God always leads us into the topic that's chosen every time. And if not, we end up in that topic somehow anyways, because God just kind of walked us around, man. And I'm blessed to be here with you. Like I said, you are in our prayers. You're in my prayers regardless every night. God is going to bestow a wonderful, wonderful mission and task to you. God's going to do it to where you have the ability to take care of your family as well while you are doing the Lord's work. You know, so brother, I'm thankful for you in my life, man. And God certainly is thankful for you because you're a pretty powerful warrior.
There you are. Well,
it's not me. It's all him. I'm just a person like everybody else. It's, you know, I just say that, you know, I appreciate everybody here. I appreciate all your kind comments. I love you all. I do. And, you know, it's, I don't know what God has in store for me. I'm a little excited, to be quite honest, because I don't know. I don't really know where this is going to lead. But, you know, yeah, I know at some point I'm probably going to be attacked. And, well, I've been attacked before, too. So that's okay, because there's power in the blood of Christ Jesus. And I'm just going to give it to him.
Amen.
Amen. Well, one of the things you can be assured of is that it's going to be something.
Yeah. Well, it's not going to be nothing.
It's going to be something.
It's going to be something.
It's not going to be nothing. It's going to be something.
Yep.
You know, someone.
I've learned trusting. I'll just say.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's all perspective. You know, someone once asked me, would you rather Would you rather be a director of cinematography in a big city, or would you rather work at a convenience store in the mountains? And my answer, oddly, was I'd rather work at the convenience store in the mountains because there's peace. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's really all in our perspective. It's being happy with what you have, and enjoying the things that God gives you, because God doesn't give you anything little. We only perceive certain things as small. But nothing that God grants us is small by any means.
That's very true. Very, very true. Very true.
Well, now you got me thinking, man.
I know, man. Darn it. We do brothers in the Bible, and you walk away thinking.
Thankfully, I wasn't a convenience store worker over in Tahoe, because they've had like 648,000 inches of snow. Yeah, no
lie. I blame that on HARP. I blame that on HARP.
40,000 inches is enough.
I mean, it's
okay. Well, like, no, it was actually 399,000.
No, it was like 648 inches of snow. I mean, it's just dumb. How much snow did you get? We got a dumb amount. It's really stupid amount.
We got an amount that doesn't measure in math. Maybe Common Core. But guys, I know you got to get out of here, Jeff, and go spend some time with family. So once again, Livin, Jeff, Conley, I love you guys very much. Thank you for joining us every weekend, Jeff. Brilliant, man. Like I said, I don't know. I bet everybody feels as good as I do, man. You brought the spirit tonight, and he's sitting here with every single one of us.
He did.
Well, he vesseled through you. So there you go. Yeah, you were, somebody said in here, you are a willing vessel, and we appreciate it. And I want to thank all of you too. You guys are absolutely amazing. I love the conversation, and there's a lot to pray about right now, guys. Individually, people are having illnesses, stress in their lives, issues with work and so forth. You know, the least we can do is just pray for them, because we know God answers this. And God is having us all pulled out of old missions and putting us on the missions that he needs us. And that's one thing that many of us are going to have to accept. Just like Jeff said, sometimes you need to give up. You need to let go. It's kind of like tithing. You know, is God asking you to pay 10%, or is he letting you keep the 90%? Put that into perspective. You know, so just appreciate those little things as a blessing. Even when they seem out of place, even when they seem wrong, I've seen it many experiences in my lifetime where I was like, Lord, I know you've got this. Calm me. And sometimes in the last hour, God comes through, but God comes through when he needs to. And sometimes he's teaching you patience. Sometimes he's teaching you faith, or strengthening your faith. Sometimes he's giving you strength. We just have to know is that ultimately God will come through. So guys, I hope you had a beautiful day here. I hope you have a beautiful rest of your Sunday night. Like I say every weekend, kick off your shoes, walk outside, put your feet in the sand, read a book, put a puzzle together, paint a painting, read scripture, spend time with the family, do something that makes you feel good. You know, there's no point of just keeping yourself in the chaos. Conley, I will bring that chaos to you on Monday in a snarky way. We'll at least try to keep you laughing, guys. Like I said, at this point, you know, we need to know where we're heading, but we don't need to fear. We don't need to worry. We don't need to stress, because God has our backs, guaranteed. But I love y'all very, very much. I want to thank you so much for joining us for Kilted Christian episode 341, Brothers in a Bible. We'll be back tomorrow evening. It is Monday, which means it is non-Mensa Monday with the Conley, which is still funny that we call it Conley Monday, considering he's here 7 days a week. But
hanging around like herpes, man.
Do I need to pray again? Do I need to pray again?
That's the after show, Conley.
And we get to have Livin pray.
Oh, Lord, forgive them. Amen.
He's like, if Conley had a, if Conley was like a tomato right now.
That's right.
But
oh my God, even my thong's blushing.
That's right, guys. That's a taste of Monday for you. We'll see you tomorrow night. Guys, I love you all. I love you all gratefully. Have an absolutely beautiful night. Thank you for spending every day with us. We appreciate it. We hope that we can do a little for you, but you guys do a whole lot for us. This is what being Christians are all about. And I am grateful. So once again, guys, just a little extra prayer throughout the week for our brother Jeff, that God ends up leading him to where he needs to go. and a prayer right now for Israel, a prayer for France, and a prayer for any other country right now that is going through what they are going through right now. And we need to be inspired. We need to get that same courage and get out and be loud in our own country. Because if we don't, we're going to have a big mess ahead of us. You know, until Jesus comes home, we just need to make sure that we do what we can right now for our children, especially our children. But guys, have an absolutely beautiful evening. We'll see you tomorrow night for Kilted Christian episode 342, the Conley Monday, non-Mensa Monday. I love you all and God bless.
This life lets me down and the lies tell me I've been abandoned. When the darkness surrounds and it seems that there's no hope inside, I can call on your name and you release my pain. Lord, you hear me. I can lean into you, Lord, and know that you'll carry me. Because I need for you to carry me up on your shoulders. You're releasing your peace with every breath that I breathe. I can call on your name and your love covers pain. There's no place that I would rather be right here with you. I'm safe in your arms, I'm washed in the blood. You see, fear is the enemy. Left to its lies, it'll break me. I won't be led to believe that all feelings I have should be trusted. I can let go of fear as you open my eyes to your hand on me. I can lean into you, Lord. Know that you'll fight for me. Lord, you fight. Oh, I need for you to carry me up on your shoulders. You're releasing your peace with every breath that I breathe. And I can call on your name and your love covers pain. There's no place that I'd rather be than right here with you. I'm safe in your arms, I'm washed in the blood. You see all of the lies that fill up my mind, they come straight from the voice of the enemy. I will give up this pride and run straight to the fight, cause I know you're living in me. Lord, I'll step across fear and surrender my life and become who you called me to be. Who you called me to be. I will trust you, Lord, because I need for you to carry me up on your shoulders. You're releasing your peace with every breath that I breathe. Lord, I call on your name and your love covers pain. There's no place that I'd rather be than right here with you. I'm safe in your arms, I'm washed in the blood. I'm lost in the blood. I'm lost in the blood. Lord, I'm lost in the blood.
I never get tired of that song. For those of you wanting, that is Just a Patriot, Daryl Boyer. You can find his stuff on YouTube. Absolutely beautiful, beautiful musician. So guys, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight for Kilted Christian. We will be back tomorrow for Non Mensa Monday. Have a beautiful night. Don't forget tonight, Peace Be Still, here in a couple of hours. Scott will be running Peace Be Still tonight. It's going to be a great, great show. More prayer, more unity. Guys, we're going to need this more and more as we go forward. Trust me. We're going to need to lean on one another. We're always going to need to lean on God, but God puts us into each other's lives for that very reason. So utilize all those things that God gives you. Follow the mission through that God puts you through. Understand and get acclimated to those skills that God has given you on this mission. We are picked to be here for a reason, but we don't have to worry because the book ends this way. And I'm going to, it's a spoiler, guys. God wins. That's all we need to know. Guys, I love you very, very much. Have an absolutely beautiful evening. I will see you tomorrow night, and God bless.